Hey everyone, I'm Drew Powell, an associate editor at Golf Digest. You've probably heard me on the podcast before, chatting with Luke about how we can play better golf. Well, today we've got a special episode for you from a guest, strategy expert Scott Fawcett. Every few weeks we hold these Golf Digest happy hours. They're live webinars with golf insiders, like tour coaches and pros and mental coaches. And these are offered exclusively for Golf Digest Plus members who are able to ask questions and engage in the discussion. Anyways, we recently had one of these happy hours with Scott Fawcett, who works on course management with numerous PGA Tour pros. He covered so many great concepts in the happy hour, but in this clip we're listening to today, he focuses on this idea of shot patterns, what they are, and why they're so important to playing smarter golf. I hope you enjoy, and be sure to join us for future happy hours. I want to jump in here with a good question that came through. Charlie's asking how he can apply these concepts to practice sessions to prepare for tournaments or to prepare for important rounds. So how do we take this theory that we need to aim a little more conservatively, you might say, how do you take that and actually practice that on the range and also on the course?
The first thing first and foremost, which if you know me at all, I argue all the time about block versus random practice. Block practice just being you're hitting the same club at the same target. You're just hitting stock shot over and over and over again. Random practice means that you're changing targets all around. In studies, it shows that random practice is better. And the reason I believe that is because the player's just being forced to slow down. So my only answer to your question is, how do I take this information and apply it to practice to getting ready for anything? It's nothing about this information. It's about slowing down. My dad used to tell me when I was a teenager, you hit balls too fast. And I'm like, but I got improvement. And I'm like, basically exercising. What I can now tell you, I mean, like from Como and Hank Haney's book and just word of mouth, Tiger is the slowest practice. Like, it's excruciating to watch him practice because he'll hit five or six shots, take a little breather, hit five or six shots. I mean, when you see him at a tour event, he's just warming up. But like when he's actually practicing. So my answer to that question is, it has nothing to do with how do we take these ideas. Actually, I will answer that to some extent. Start being aware of the width of your shot pattern. Start being aware that, man, I miss balls 15 yards left and 15 yards right. That's what I tell my college coaches when they say, how do we practice swing? Like, just use your launch monitor to illustrate to guys they have a shot pattern. And this is why we have to play committed to our decade targets, because the variance within our shot pattern is what's going to yield those results. But if there's any one thing that matters more than anything else in practice, it is 100% slowing down. Again, this is where it's hard because like nobody's actually going to get behind every single shot in practice. But what I do is, let's say that I hit a shot. Let me see here. Hold on. I'll come back and share again in a second. Let's say that I hit a shot, pull another ball over. Most people are just sitting here and they're not even looking downfield. They're just pull a ball over and go again. What I want to do is get behind. So not all the way behind, but if I hit a shot, bam, watch it all the way down. And critically, if you hit a good shot, take a second and really feel that. Feel that in your, like your brain really is wiring up neurons. Like your brain is trying to create a map of what just happened. And so if in your follow through, if you happen to hit it good, take a second, hold your pose, really feel what just happened. Pull another ball over. And like I say, you don't have to get all the way behind it, but just taking this last step in every single time. Because what we're training then is your weight shift. We're training your trigger with how you start your shot. If you look at Zalatoris, I mean, again, I haven't gone out and watched any golf in a couple of years, but what's comical about Zalatoris is he's got the exact same waggle where he stands here to the side of it. He's got like two waggles, he goes, and then he comes in, he's got the way. Like, I could snap my fingers the second he's about to start his swing. And that's not on accident. That's because the guy has practiced this a bazillion times. And again, if you think about it, everything we're trying to do is be consistent in golf. Like, that's what we're trying to accomplish here.
Got another good question here about shot patterns, and especially with the driver. How wide is a shot pattern for a PGA Tour player with a driver from left to right? And how much does that change for, say, a 10 handicap who hits at 220?
I mean, a tour player, it's every ounce of 70 yards, which just blows.
So can you explain? So their furthest left shot that they, what, theoretically can hit, or they typically hit? How would you quantify that?
Typically hit.
Typically hit.
It can go anywhere.
Goes 35 yards left of their target, and then their furthest right point is 35 yards right of their target, is what you're saying.
Yes. Yes, amazing. Which is why I say when these architects are trying to give people like this 70 yard, they're trying to entice them to make a bad decision by giving them 70 yards of width so they'll try to favor the right for a left pin. Like, that's a fool's errand. The shot patterns are so much bigger than you would possibly imagine. Like number 18, like once you start putting a hazard on one side, number 18 at PGA West, where Nick Dunlap just won. So you've got that water on the left. It's 100 yards from the water over to the cart path, and players hit it right at the cart path every single year and hit it in the water. Like, it's just, it's mind boggling. Yeah. So to your question again, but what you've got to start thinking of, rather than if I've got a triangle, so the same degrees offline, if my shot pattern is only 200 yards versus 300 yards, like it's the same degrees offline, but my shot pattern is going to be more narrow. So even as a player is worse, like, so let's say a 10 handicap. And again, I'm being theoretical here. If a tour player's shot pattern is 3 degrees offline and 70 yards wide at 300, I have no idea if that trigonometry works, but let's just say that. If I come back to a 200 yard shot pattern, I can now go twice as much offline and the shot pattern is still the same width. I hope that makes sense. I've literally never tried to explain that in my entire life, but it's really like, you don't need that much more room for a bad player because it's already going shorter and it's already going more crooked, but it's technically about the same width as a tour player's. The main thing that people get wrong with approach or with tee shot strategy is they start dropping back too often, just being like, well, I'll get this 3-wood in play. Like, a 3-wood is a much harder club to hit than your driver. And I posted this on Instagram not too long ago, and literally someone posted, well, I hit 50% of the fairways with my driver and 75% with my 3-wood. Then your driver is not fit for you. Like, that's not possible. Like, there's no chance those numbers are accurate, but people actually do believe that.
It's and more so about
what's that?
It's key. Would you say it's more so about keep the driver in your hand, but just change where you're aimed on a specific hole to take the risk out of play based on your shot pattern?
As best as you can. Yeah. But again, sometimes also it's like, well, yeah, that's a pretty big shot pattern. We need to just get a little bit better at golf too. for that player, just dropping back to 3-wood or hybrid, like, now you've just made all of you might get 5 or 6 more percent of balls in the fairway, but you've made 100% of your shots, second shots, 30 or 40 yards longer. Like, that's a bad idea. Again, it's the mathematical equivalent of, like, if you and I are flipping coins and every time you get it right, I give you $5. And every time I get it right, you give me 10 and we flip a coin, you get it right, I give you $5. Did you make money? I would argue you didn't. Because if we do this long enough, you're going to cry uncle pretty quick. So it's all about expected value. The expected value in that bet for you is negative. Just because you won on one iteration does not make it a good bet. So if I drop back to 3-wood and I get it in the fairway, like, haha, I told you so. Yeah. But if we do that 1,000 times, you're not going to keep saying yeah.
Todd asks a really good question that...
The real question for tee shot strategy is, what's the alternative and what does it accomplish? And that answer is typically not enough.
Mm. This sort of leads into Todd's good question about, is length more important than putting? Which is more important in your mind?
I wouldn't say length, but I would say driving. There's just no doubt, and this is a hard one for people to trust. And this is actually, it's a really lucky topic for me. Back in June of 2011, May of 2011, is when they first started releasing the strokes gained putting data. And I remember just looking at it and, like, I couldn't wrap my head around, like, an 8-foot putt's 50-50. Like, I could not wrap my head around that fact. But then I wrote a thread on an online poker forum that was just titled, "Is Drive for Show, Putt for Dough Really True?" And that unequivocally, like, there's, I would say, 5 to 10 golf stats nerds in the world that really know what we're doing. And that's one of the main topics 100% of us agree on. So I don't like the question of, is distance more important versus putting, but driving is definitely more important than putting. And again, this is, it's based on the fact that nobody's very good at putting. I mean, there are obviously better putters than worse putters, but like, I love Zalatoris like a son. I've got tons of signed stuff by him back here. I've got more stuff over here. Like, he's my man. Yeah. Quite obviously, he struggles with his putting. That year back in 2022, when he won and when he was like fifth or sixth in the world, that guy's not a good putter. He was 89% from 4 feet. Tour average is 92%. It's not like he was 50%. He was 3% worse than tour average. It's just not that big of a deal. And so it really comes down more to the fact that everybody sucks at putting. That's obviously a tongue-in-cheek joke. But it's also not too far from the truth. Relative to your handicap, you probably putt about average. But yeah, tee shots are the way that you can just start taking massive chunks of expected value off of a hole.
Hello, I'm Luke Cardenine, the host of the Golf IQ podcast, and we've got some very exciting news here in Golf Digest land. It's a new newsletter available exclusively to Golf Digest Plus members, and it'll land in your inbox once a week. It's the greatest newsletter in all the land here at Golf Digest, but I admit there is an upstart rival in the ranks, and it goes by the name of the Low Net newsletter with Sam Wyman, who's here right now. Sam, what's the lowdown on your newsletter?
Well, my newsletter, Luke, is the reason that you are competing for second place at best. My newsletter, as you said, is called Low Net. It's geared towards golfers like myself who are very much in the middle of the pack at your course or your club. It's a game I live and breathe, and I'm obsessed with getting better.
No, in all seriousness, it's a great read. It's full of not just really interesting and helpful stuff, but really relatable stuff from the man who probably loves golf the most of anybody here at Golf Digest. So head over to golfdigest.com/plus. Sign up and start enjoying both of these awesome newsletters each and every week.